Hey there, it's Ariel Helwani, one third of the fastest growing show in combat sports.
I'm Chuck Mindenhall.
And I'm PT Carroll, and together we are 3PAC.
Join us on the Spotify Live app after every UFC pay-per-view and become a part of the best community in mixed martial arts.
Or, if you can't make it, check out the Ringer MMA Show podcast exclusively on Spotify.
See you then. Love yous.
It's the Ringer Gambling Show, presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome into the Ringer Gambling Show. I'm Austin Gale here with Raheem Palmer and JJ John Jastrzemski. How are we doing, fellas? I'm excited to get into the NFC South. Raheem, how are you feeling about this division?
This division is really, really interesting. I mean, obviously, you got two teams who could probably win this division, and then you have other two who could probably be the worst teams in the league. So I'm excited to talk about it. I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, listen, I agree. It's a division in which, to me, it's a one-horse race because of what Tampa brings to the table and Brady and all of the talent they have. And the New Orleans Saints, with a new head coach and all sorts of question marks, to me, are the perfect team that could either zig or zag one particular way. But, boys, another year and we're breaking down Tom Brady futures. I thought we were done with this shit.
Yeah.
The market definitely sees it as a one-horse race. Obviously, there's two teams that can really win this division with New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but the Buccaneers are minus 270, according to FanDuel, to win that division. That is the biggest favorite of any single team in their own division. They're also the favorite to win the NFC, and they're the favorite in the NFC, obviously, to win the Super Bowl at plus 750, according to FanDuel. Starting with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like I said, minus 270 to win the division, minus 750 to make the playoffs. They are an all but guarantee to make the playoffs according to that market. And then at their win total, 11.5 is where their win total sits, the over at plus 105 and the under at minus 125. Raheem, start with you. Is there any value on the Bucs right now?
I don't think there's any value on the Bucs. Now, I don't know if you guys know, but I really love Tom Brady. Like, I look at Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady is like Alonzo from Training Day. You give him 18 months, he'll give you a career. It doesn't matter who's out there with him. He makes the big bus. He makes the big seizures. He's always there. But when you look at this team right now, I mean, they lose their starting center, Ryan Jensen. He went down with a knee injury. He might not be back until November and December. And then obviously, I mean, it's just, they had some replacements on the offensive line. Obviously, you bring in Shaq Mason, and I mean, you kind of lose some guys there. Ali Marpet retires, Alec Kappa leaves. And I think Shaq Mason is a good replacement for Alex Kappa, but it's just, I'm concerned about this team. They start the season off really strong. I mean, like, they got the Cowboys, they got the Saints, they got the Packers, they got the Chiefs. They could be 1-4 or 2-2 to start the year. So you don't want to buy in on the Bucs to win a division at this point. I think you want to wait for that start to see how they start off. And then you want to maybe buy in later. But right now you can't at all.
I think that's reasonable, Raheem. The schedule out of the gate is very, very tough. And we got to take into account new head coach, Bruce Arians on a yacht somewhere, playing golf somewhere. Todd Bowles, who coached the New York Jets for 3 years and did a very underwhelming job coaching the New York Jets. You know, he always struck me as one of those guys, terrific coordinator, but is he going to have that intangible to go and lead? Well, now you have the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't care what his age is. You got the GOAT in Tom Brady. So if you can't win with Tom Brady as a head coach, well, I got to wonder if Todd Bowles is ever going to win as a head coach. And I get those departures and those injuries and defections on the offensive line. Here's why, though, I can't be rushing to the ticket window to go and bet the Buccaneers as an under. They got four games guaranteed against the Falcons and the Panthers. They are not losing any of those games against the Panthers and the Falcons. So when I add that up, it's like, geez, they're getting four right out of the gate there. Even if they got to contend with the AFC North, even if they have a little bit of an adjustment period early in the year, this is the ultimate stay away for me. I'm not going near division price. It's too pricey. I'm not going near win totals. And what I will do, Raheem, Austin, if they go 2-2 to start the year and that division price comes down to, I don't know, 160, 150, then I would be willing to fire.
I'm so glad you brought up the first-year head coach, because that's a big reason why I don't like betting the over 11.5, and I don't see any value on them being minus 270 to win their own division or minus 750 to make the playoffs, because that's a reason to say they're not going to be maybe exceeding expectations right out of the gate. But the reason why I think it is that high is, according to Las Vegas win totals, this is the seventh easiest strength of schedule. Like, they have a very easy strength of schedule because they're playing the Falcons twice, because they're playing the Panthers twice. We didn't bring this guy up, but I think he's going to have a big season too. Russell Gage coming in to really complete receiving core. Obviously, they lose Antonio Brown. They lost him mid-game last season, but they bring in Russell Gage, who I think immediately fills in as that wide receiver three with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. The offensive line, they lose Kappa. Bringing in Shaq Mason is huge. I think the Ryan Jensen loss will hurt, but I still think that offensive line is a top-flight offensive line in the NFL. They are rightfully the favorite to win the NFC. They are rightfully the win the favorite of the NFC South. I don't see a ton of value on this team.
I think the Russell Gage pickup, I mean, that was huge. And then I think he's going to be the guy more so than Julio Jones. I think Julio Jones right now, he's on Larry Holmes status, flabby and sick, but he's going to be, I mean, obviously with Rob Gronkowski retiring, he's going to be a great end zone target. I mean, a red zone target for the Bucs. So I do like that pickup in that sense, but he's not going to be the Julio Jones of old. One thing I want to say about this Bucs team, though, is that they were 6-0 in one score games last year. And they did overperform their point differential. And a lot of times when you're 6-0 in one score games, that tends to regress the following year. You know, you guys talk about Todd Bowles, and he has been a great defensive coordinator, but there's still questions about his ability to coach at a head be a head coach. So, I mean, you get any level of regression. And then obviously Tom Brady, I mean, I love him to death, but he is 45 years old. Those quarterbacks do fall off, I mean, rather quickly.
Well, I mean,
at that age.
Don't you say that, Raheem. Don't you say that,
Raheem. I thought at 35 or 38 you fall off, or at 40 you fall off. With that guy, no. He's a cyborg, dude. I got to see it to believe it, bro. I'm sorry.
I got to see it to believe it, too. But I'm just saying, I just don't think honestly, I don't think there's any value on them to win the Super Bowl, to win the conference.
Well, I agree with that.
I think you got to wait for those first four games.
Raheem, cast your doubt on Todd Bowles as a first-year head coach. Cast your doubt on the Jensen injury. You cast your doubt on the TB12. I can't do it. The TB12 diet is what's going to keep this guy alive and playing until he's 50. You cannot at any point in time cast out and mention even remotely regression for Tom Brady. No, as he goes into 45 years old, it'll be interesting to follow. Let's pivot to the New Orleans Saints. Guys, I got to be honest. I'm in love with the New Orleans Saints. I see a ton of value on this football team. I like the over 8.5 wins at plus 105. I like Jameis Winston over 3,600 passing yards at minus 112 on FanDuel. Saints to make the playoffs at plus 118. Are all three of those bets are ones that I like. And I'll start here. Ninth easiest strength of schedule according to win totals. Again, that's playing the Panthers. That's playing the Falcons, feeding into that. Michael Thomas already running routes in training camp. Back healthy is massive. I'm obsessed with the first year wide receiver they're bringing in out of Ohio State and Chris Olave. I think he was one of the most polished draft prospects in this class. He immediately comes in. And Jarvis Landry is coming to this team to eat. And if you are fading Jarvis Landry at this point in his career, I think in this wide receiver three role, he can have a lot of success. Last year, under Dennis Allen, the head coach in New Orleans, the first ranked defense in EPA per play. And they added Tyrann Mathieu. They added Marcus May. This is a damn good football team. At 8.5, I feel like that's an absolute embarrassment, and you still get value at the plus 105. I really like the Saints over the win total to make the playoffs. And I think Jameis Winston in that offense is going to go over that 3,600 mark. You know why? Baker Mayfield has that same passing total. And he might be starting back and forth with Sam Darnold. Jameis Winston over that number as well. I think the Saints, there's so much value on being long on the Saints. JJ, I'll start with you. Are you in the same boat?
I am in on the New Orleans Saints. And you mentioned a lot of the reasons I'm bullish on New Orleans. First off, they were a team that a year ago had a lot of bad luck, a lot of misfortune, key injuries. That game with the Dolphins on Monday Night Football where they're starting Ian Book at quarterback. Like, I mean, I loved it. I was eating up every minute of it. But, like, it fell for the Saints with all the stuff that was going on with COVID. And yet they hung around and they still had a competitive season. They are much better. Olave, love him. Landry, who, remember, put his college football at LSU. He's got something to prove. That defense adds Tyrann Mathieu, who, yes, is maybe not the Tyrann Mathieu of his peak, but another guy who's an LSU boy who's coming home. Like, they got that Louisiana in them, and I think they're going to show up. My only question with the Saints, we talk about first-year head coach. Sean Payton is gone. Like, if Sean Payton was coaching this team, I would fire him on division. I would fire him every which way. I'm betting him as an over. I'm betting him to make the playoffs. My only question, twofold. One, Dennis Allen, who was terrible when he coached the Raiders. Two, Jameis Winston, and whether or not he can stay on the field. And I think he'll play well. It's not even a question of, like, turnovers or this or that. It's, am I getting 17 games or at least 15 or 16 out of Jameis Winston? But I'm in, guys. I will ride with New Orleans as an over. I'm in.
Yeah, I agree with that a ton. Like, I love the Saints. I love the over 8.5 wins. I love them to make the playoffs. Honestly, I think there's value on them to win a division at plus 350, knowing how the Buccaneers, their start to their season. And I think you can find yourself a little opportunity to get plus money on both of those teams. I mean, when you look at the Saints last year, they had the second most adjusted games lost due to injury at 76 yeah. and a half. They were 31st in offense on adjusted games lost to injury. So you get all those guys back. I mean, Austin, you mentioned the wide receiving core with Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, and Chris Olave. Obviously, you look at the secondary. The defense is going to be a monster. They might have the best secondary in the league with Marshawn Lattimore, Adebo, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and then you got the Honey Badger. So I think the only real concern for this team is that obviously you lose left tackle Teron Armstead to Miami, and then you fill him with the rookie and Trevor Penning. But besides that, I think this is probably one of the best teams in the NFC. And I mean, it just depends on which Jameis do you get. I mean, Jameis last year threw 3 interceptions. The year before that, I mean, he had his 30 for 30 type thing going on. So, I mean, is it Sean Payton or is it Dennis Allen? I mean, is Dennis Allen going to be able to keep Jameis from just slinging the ball all around like Atlanta Falcons Brett Favre? Or is he going to morph into that Green Bay Packers Brett Favre that we saw? So I like the Saints team.
There's a lot of redemption tour energy with this team. Jarvis Landry coming back to the Bayou trying to show up. You have Tyrann Mathieu coming back, obviously played at LSU as well. James Winston's been on this redemption tour since he had the 30-30 season. And then you have Dennis Allen, like you said, a terrible first time coaching in the NFL or being a head coach in the NFL with the Oakland Raiders. Now has this other opportunity with a really talented roster. Like, there's a lot of really good players. You mentioned this defense is a monster. They were a monster last year. The first ranked defense in the NFL in EPA per play. And they got better. Adding Tyrann Mathieu, adding Marcus May in the secondary. This team should be really damn good. And I think there's a lot of players on this team that are hungry and doubted and underrated. And that's where the value is in their win total. Really where the value is in their win total.
You know what? But before we move on, we have to discuss the Alvin Kamara situation. Obviously, we know what's going on with Deshaun Watson. And then I think some news broke yesterday about Alvin Kamara. They pushed his court date back 60 days. I mean, the way NFL suspensions are going these days, I mean, this guy can get anything from 2 games to 2 years. So, I mean, that is a concern. I mean, but it's looking more and more like he might start the season.
They are better equipped this year as opposed to last year, though, I think, to handle a Kamara suspension. Yeah. Here's the other thing I like about the Saints. They're not intimidated by the Buccaneers. They have whooped on Tampa. 2 years ago, they swept them in the regular season. I know they lost the postseason game. And last year, that defense gave it to Tom Brady. They beat the crap out of Tom Brady. So you like that. If you're going to make the case for New Orleans to win the division, going to like them heads up in those matchups with the Buccaneers. So, guys, we're in. New Orleans over. Let's fire New Orleans playoffs. Let's go.
They're 4-1 against the Bucs.
In the Brady era. Yeah, they are, well,
the only game they lost was the playoff game.
That's right. They won both games last year because they won in Tampa on that Sunday night and they won in New Orleans around Halloween weekend. Good call, Raheem. 4-1.
No Sean Payton, but they did retain the offense coordinator, Pete Carmichael. And you talk to some people in the building, there's a lot of people that are high on Pete Carmichael, and they feel that retaining him, even after losing Sean Payton, will help them maintain a lot of what they had on offense and keep things similar for Jameis Winston. So I also like that consistency as well.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Let's go to the Carolina Panthers. Ooh. Quarterback question marks. Obviously, they bring in Baker Mayfield. He is, I think, the favorite to start. He's taking more reps, I think, with the ones right now, or they're splitting it back and forth. But when you read some of the training camp tea leaves, it looks like that Baker Mayfield's likely going to start in Carolina. Still, no one is high on the Carolina Panthers. I think their win total is set at 6.5. To win this division, it's plus 5,000. To go to the playoffs, it's plus 1,000. Like, I don't think that they're going to be a team that, people are talking about as a playoff competitor next year. Is there value, though, on where this is right now? 6.5 win total, and correct me, plus 410 to make the playoffs next year.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think there's value either way. Obviously, when you look at this team, there are some good things about this team. I think they're going to have a solid defense. I think that's the strength of this team. They're going to have a solid pass rush. Obviously, you got a guy like Brian Burns. You bring in Matt Ioannidis from Washington. They're going to be able to rush the passer. A lot is just really going to depend on whether you get a healthy Christian McCaffrey. I think after his 2019 season where he had 403 rush attempts for 239 combined yards, he hasn't been the same guy. He hasn't been able to stay on the field. But if he can stay healthy, I think this team can push for that win total and possibly be a fringe playoff team. But I just don't trust the quarterbacks. Obviously, you have an offensive coordinator and Ben McAdoo who doesn't like Mayfield either. So it's just like I'm staying away from this one. There's a reason why Matt Rhule is the favorite for being the first coach fired.
I really wanted to make a compelling case for Carolina to be a playoff team, because I wanted to give you that team that's off the beaten path. I want to buy into the Baker Mayfield storyline. I do think Baker, of course, ends up winning the job. I do think he has something to prove. But the issue I have with Carolina is that they just look way too limited on the offensive side of the ball. I think their defense, guys, is going to be pretty solid. I think they're going to be right around that win total. That is a sharp, sharp, sharp win total at 6.5. I actually, if I had to make a bet, if you tell me right here, right now, JJ, you have to bet this win total. It's got to be one of your favorites. I would play Carolina as an over. Believe it or not, I would. Because I think the defense will win them a few games. I think they'll luck into a few games. I think they're probably going to end up being a 7, maybe an 8-win team. Because the NFC is not as strong as the AFC. However, Tampa's better. New Orleans is better. And that's why we're staying away from this one. I think Carolina is like that absolute worst case scenario for them. They're a middle of the road team. They're not going to be able to go and get their quarterback next year because they're going to be other teams that, to me, are flat out a heck of a lot worse than the Carolina Panthers. And if they're going to be a playoff team, guys, listen, McCaffrey has got to stay on the field. He's got to be a stud. He's got to play 14 or 15 games this year if Carolina's going to have any chance of being competitive. That's the number to me. Can Christian McCaffrey play 14 or 15 games?
And I think he's going to. I think it's gotten to a point where, like, injury prone and those things, like how much he was used that season before his first, like, injury started to derail this part of his career. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's back to form from what you're reading right now. And also, like, simply just the amount of rest that he's been able to have. I think if there's a worry for me in Carolina beyond the offensive line being a bottom 10 unit, the quarterback question marks that they have, it's the head coach. He's going to be making consistently short-term decisions to keep his job. And that'll be flipping quarterbacks if he thinks that's the case. He'll bench receivers. He'll do whatever it takes or whatever he feels fit to win as many games this year to retain his job. And I just don't think that mindset with this bad of a roster is what's ultimately going to push him over that 6.5 win total. I'm passing on the win total, but I think, you know, gun to my head, I might go under just because of, you know, just the doubt I have in Rule and the doubt I have in any level of consistency offensively or even defensively, despite the talent with this football team. If you are betting the Carolina Panthers, I do like McCaffrey's over rushing yards at 925.5. I think if he stays healthy, he clears that number easily. And then I also like at plus 800, comeback player of the year. Comeback player of the year, I think, could be his to have. I think Derrick Henry's
the favorite. Oh, I like that, Austin. That is a good one. I like that.
Derrick Henry's the favorite for that award right now. I think at plus 400, he obviously missed the second half of last season, but he still rushed for like 1,000 yards. So, like, I don't know. I think that market is mispriced in a sense. I don't think a lot of people are going to be throwing money at or throwing votes at Derrick Henry to win comeback player of the year as much as they would Christian McCaffrey, who has not had the season people have wanted over the last 2 years plus. So that's where I'm at with the Carolina Panthers.
The one thing I will say about that is they did sign Deontay Foreman from Tennessee. I think that kind of can work in your favor and also can take away from it because it can kind of work in your favor by, you know, they're going to spell him and try to keep him healthy. But I mean, this could end up a timeshare situation. I think that's the only thing that kind of scares me.
If the Carolina Panthers, Raheem, I'm going to say this to you. If the Carolina Panthers, Matt Rhule, go into a timeshare with Deontay Foreman, I will fire Matt Rhule myself. That is an absolute travesty. Deontay Foreman is no...
it's a travesty, like, when you look at it, like, logically, but when you look at things based on the fact that how much he's been injured, it's like, you kind of got to protect your investment, and they're paying this guy a lot of money, and he hasn't really met his... They paid him for past performance, pretty much.
Yeah, I think that we can get into this conversation for a long time, but paying running backs often ends this way. I mean, even with Derrick Henry, they paid him, and he missed the second half of the season.
It doesn't end well. Never.
It is a position that the NFL is still learning how to pay and how to play. And I think that's how we end up in these situations like we have with Christian McCaffrey. All right. Last but absolutely least, the Atlanta Falcons. they are right now, their win total set at 4.5. Not necessarily question marks at quarterback, just bad quarterbacks. I mean, Marcus Mariota comes in. They have Desmond Ridder. They drafted him in the third round out of Cincinnati in this year's draft. Defense is absolutely heinous. I would not be surprised if this is the worst defense in the NFL next year. Last year, they ranked 29th in EPA per play in 2022. Pass rush, non-existent. Grady Jarrett's the only talented player along that defensive line. In the secondary, I like it. I like that they added Casey Hayward. AJ Terrell is one of the best young cornerbacks in the NFL, but that's not enough. That's not enough star power to, you know, bring this defense back. And offensively, you have the questions at quarterback. I think the offensive line is still not a top flight unit in the NFL. And receivers that are really good, but really young. Drake London, the rookie out of USC, and Kyle Pitts, the second year tight end out of Florida. I don't like value on their win total. I think that's set at 4.5, the over juice to minus 120, the under at plus 100. The bet I like with the Falcons, because I don't think they're going to be good next year, is to have the worst record in the NFL at plus 400. I don't think that under 4.5 wins is a bet you want to be sweating for 17 games, especially because that's just such a, with 17 games in a season, it's such a hard, you know, hard one to lose when they do have Marcus Mariota. And if he plays all 17 games, I think you'd be surprised to see him lose that many games or lose, you know, 3 or 4 games. However, this very well could be the worst team in football. I mean, they're Kyle Pitts injury away from having nothing on offense, nothing on defense. So I think that that's the bet I like the most with the Falcons. JJ, I'll start with you.
Yeah, we talked about this. To me, there are one or two teams in the NFC that I have circled for worst record. Seattle, in the NFC West, who I'm all over. I think they're going to have a miserable season. But I could say the same thing about the Atlanta Falcons. They're not going to be able to get wins in this division. They lose Calvin Ridley, as we know, for the year, even though they didn't have Calvin Ridley for a good majority of last year. It's a defense that doesn't inspire. It's a team that is just such in flux, such in transition. It's so obvious. It's so clear across the board. And no, I am not buying that Marcus Mariota is going to go in there and channel his inner 2017 Marcus Mariota and get a team competitive and get him into the postseason. Team in transition, worst record in the league is a good play here. I also think they're going under, though. I know it's the NFL. I know it's additional games. I know teams luck into wins and all that jazz and all that nonsense. That's fine. I am fairly confident Atlanta is going to stink this year. Like, if you're telling me, JJ, you got to play a win total on this. And it's tough. It's a tough one. I think Atlanta's awful. I think they're the worst team in the division, yeah, hands down. I think they're definitely picking within the top three, Raheem. Maybe not the worst record in the league. They are picking within the top three.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, when you look at their schedule, they could legitimately start out 0-7. They got the Saints, they got the Rams, they got the Seahawks, they got the Browns, they got the Bucks, they got the 49ers, and they got the Bengals. Like, they could be 0-7 to start the year. And then when you look at them last year, they won seven games, but according to Football Outsiders, they were the worst 7-win team in the history of the NFL. I mean, they had the fourth worst point differential in the NFL last year. And then when you look at how they performed, they were 7-2 in one score games. And we all know that both of those things tends to regress. And it's just their schedule is a lot tougher this year. So I think this goes under as well. I mean, like, honestly, I agree with Austin. I think the play here is worst regular season record. But as Austin mentioned, they really have one weapon, and that's Kyle Pitts. What did Kyle Pitts do last year? He had one touchdown. One. Uno. Like, so I think he does better than that this year. Let's go over 4.5 touchdowns for Kyle Pitts. I mean, somebody's got to score. I mean, they're not going to go scoreless the whole
somebody's
year.
Somebody's got to score. I love it. I mean, literally, Raheem, all they're going to do is be throwing balls up to Kyle Pitts and Drake London. I mean, those are two big boys. Those are two guys that can go and get it. Feel like there are going to be a lot of fade routes and jump balls for the Atlanta Falcons this year.
Yeah, but I think one thing you want to look at, I mean, at least game by game, this is a team who's going to be going under the total. I mean, like Austin mentioned that they have a good secondary. You got Casey Hayward and AJ Terrell. And we all know that this is one of the worst offensive lines in the league. So not going to be scoring a lot of points. So on a game-to-game basis, you want to be looking under the totals.
You're not going to be seeing a lot of games where the Falcons are playing in one where the total set at like 48, 49, 50. Okay, this is going to be it's a very bad football team and a lot of lopsided losses. You have me sold too. I was going to stay away from the win total at 4.5. I'm going under. I'm going to hit the under at plus 100. I'm going to hit the worst record in the NFL at plus 400. And I think there is a misprice on FanDuel for Offensive Rookie of the Year. The favorite right now is Kenny Pickett, and he is the third string quarterback in Pittsburgh. Like, he is not even going with the ones. Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph are getting reps over Kenny Pickett, and FanDuel has that as the favorite offensive rookie of the year. Breece Hall, the Jets running back, is the second favorite at plus 800. And then Drake London, plus 1,000 to win offensive rookie of the year next year. He is the number one wide receiver. It's not going to be Olamide Zaccheaus. It's not going to be Brian Edwards. Kyle Pitts obviously is the number one tight end. Maybe he is the number one option with that experience, but he is the top wideout. I think he's going to get fed the football to a point where he does rack up enough points or rack up yards to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, especially at the plus 1,000 price. I think that's where I'm leaning as well. What a fantastic episode. The NFC South and what is an obviously lopsided division. Value on the Falcons if you like their unders. Value on the Saints if you like their overs, etc. Raheem Palmer. We have football on today. The Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, Las Vegas Raiders, Jacksonville Jaguars. This game opened as a pick'em. Now, all the way out to -2.5, the Las Vegas Raiders favored over the Jacksonville Jaguars. The total set at 30.5. You can bet the money line. Raiders -142, Jaguars +120. That means sharp money on the Raiders as we get closer to kick. Where's your head at here? Is there value after the Sharps have already poured on the silver and black?
Well, there's no real value on the side here. I mean, RAS, I don't know if you guys are familiar, Right Angle Sports, they were responsible for that sharp move, pushing this number from Jaguars -1.5 to where it currently sits now at Raiders -2.5. I think one thing that you have to think about when it comes to preseason NFL betting is that 1 and 2 are the biggest key numbers. It's not like the regular season where the 3 is king. I mean, the 3 is hitting 15% of the time. 1 and 2 are key numbers because teams aren't playing for ties at the end of the games. They're either going for 2. They're trying to win the game to get out. So 1 and 2 is really key. I think the angle here is to play the under. I mean, obviously, you're not going to have a ton of starters playing. The weather, I mean, it's kind of suboptimal. I mean, that under right now is at 30.5. It opened at 32.5, but I don't see a high scoring game at all. I think the last 16 Hall of Fame games have gone under. I think since 2016, it's about 5-1. So let's go under the total for the Hall of Fame game. I mean, I guess if you're just looking for some advice on how to bet preseason at all, you got to remember that 1 and 2 are definitely key numbers. Obviously, like a team like the Ravens, they're printing money during the preseason. I mean, under John Harbaugh, the Ravens are 37-12 in the preseason. I think they've covered like 8 straight. Like, I mean, they're just absolutely dominant. So you always want to be looking towards the Ravens. I mean, they're typically always covering. You're looking at other teams like a guy like, you're really betting coaches. So it's like a coach like Pete Carroll, they tend to cover a lot. I mean, especially like this year, I think there's going to be some value on the Seahawks because they're going to be, they're seen as one of the worst teams in the NFL. Obviously, you lose Russell Wilson. You got a quarterback battle going on between Geno Smith and Drew Lock. So, you know, they're going to really be competing. So if you find situations in which there's a quarterback battle, I think there's some value there. And then, I mean, like you want to fade certain coaches, like guys like Bill Belichick and guys like Andy Reid. They don't really go all out. I think if you, Chris Raybon posted this on Action Network, but if you were to fade it, Bill Belichick in the preseason, you go 25-16. That's 61%. You fade Andy Reid in the preseason, that's 13-9. So there's some angles there. I mean, obviously Mike Zimmer is no longer a head coach, but he was a guy who you could play. So that's how I approach the preseason. Looking at QB battles, always watching for those key numbers. And I think more often than not, you want to play some dogs. So that's the angles that you play.
Play the dogs, play the unders, especially this one in Canton. Apparently, there's going to be thunderstorms this evening, 70% chance of rain in Canton, Ohio for the Hall of Fame game. That total set at 30.5. And I think you're 100% right. Key in on quarterback competition, you know, that you don't have that in Las Vegas or Jacksonville tonight. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence and Derek Carr, the obvious starters for those teams. But you think about a team like Atlanta playing Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, Carolina, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. Those are going to be teams that are playing like quote unquote starting quarterbacks longer than other teams will, while other teams let their starting quarterbacks sit every single preseason game, right? Not even see the field. Tom Brady won't play this preseason, etc. So I like that as well. Play the underdogs. I think underdogs more often, especially if they get past that preseason key number of 2. You have 2.5 here for Jacksonville if you do like the value there. But I would stay away. If sharp money's going one direction, don't fade that. Raheem, really appreciate you giving us some preseason betting advice as we march on August here, and appreciate everyone on the show. NFC South, baby. A lot of fun. JJ, Raheem, Austin Gale, The Ringer Gambling Show.